discussion group, morning 6. This is the morning of the night of the last day of this year. Now, how about that? And what are you going to do on discussion 6? You're going to talk about the last day of the year? Are you going to talk about the first day of the year? Or are you going to talk about what it is that it takes for you to do as well as Akia did in the film Akia and the Spelling Bee last night? What did Akia do last night that was... Rex? Thank you. Sit down. What did Akia do last night that was so spectacular? What did Akia do last night that none of you are doing right now, but could? Interesting, isn't it? What did Akia do?
Spell. For example, she did what Akila did, and what impressed me was that she was ready to lose the spelling competition to give somebody else a chance at life, which she thought he needed.
Very good. Anybody else? What did Akia do in the film last night that was so outstanding? It's outstanding too, but it was so outstanding that we could all do. Go ahead.
She one-pointedly followed through with what she decided to do.
You're right on the ball. Mm-hmm. Anybody else with another way of looking at it? Go ahead. You said...
She fulfilled her goal.
Huh? Yeah.
She fulfilled her goal.
Yeah, but come on.
Well, she never gave up, but that's what she said, as fulfilled her goal.
Okay.
I would say the same.
Okay, you say the same. Go ahead.
She actually enjoys being her highest best.
Okay. What did you find that she did so exceptionally?
That she stopped doing it, but then she continued again to follow her goal.
She faltered, yeah, but she found it. Okay. What did you feel?
For me, she fulfills her goal.
Yes, that's what they were saying. That's good. Now,
and she unconditionally loved her mother.
Her mother, yes.
Who was quite an hurdle in her life at the beginning. And it came out as really an act of unconditional love.
Now, I believe Akia, is that how you pronounce it?
Akila
was a genius in the ability to work with words, and she found it, and then she did it. Now, it's not that she was anything unusual in this, but she found who she was. And she did not have a goal. She had a goal, yes, to win the spelling bee, but that wasn't really the goal. The goal was to take this genius within her and let it loose. She didn't know how to let that genius loose, because it was so unique, it was so special. She didn't know how to let it loose. And she was ready to give up in school, and she found school boring, because it didn't challenge her marvelous brain. And she could do any of the subjects that any of the kids wanted done, you know, and they tried to force her into doing their homework for them. But does that ever happen? Yeah. Now, what would a lesser person do? She would have done other people's homework, wouldn't she? A wimp. Someone who didn't really know who. But she knew who she was. She knew from the very beginning that she was an excellent speller, that she was an excellent student, that she could do anything. But she didn't know that she could do anything. Now, that sounds contradictory. She knew that she could do anything, but she didn't know that she could do anything. She knew that she could do anything that she had previously proven to herself she could do, but she didn't know that she could go before all of these people nationwide and represent her school and represent herself, because that's what she was doing. And the quality that was most magnificent about her, and perhaps they played that up a little bit too, was her ability to recognize this Korean boy had a lot of problems, and that for him to have the respect and love of his father was to her more important than winning the spelling bee. Even though she had told her mentor that, don't believe everything you see. And of course, the mentor knew. He saw her struggles all the way along, and he saw her peeking in there and hearing. He knew, But he also knew that you're not your brother's keeper, and he wasn't trying to encourage her to do that or stay away from it. And you guys, as you looked at this, it's good, but you looked at it from the emotional point of view. Rather, look at it from the spiritual point of view, that she is a master, and she didn't have to prove it to anybody. And if letting someone else win brought happiness into their life and brought them a feeling of solidarity in their family and so forth, which apparently they had never had, but they had, but she didn't know it. Because even families, dysfunctional families, are functional. Because the father was there. The boy was there. He cared about the boy. And the way he showed it was in wanting him to win. But the boy knew that that wasn't what the father really wanted. What did the father really want to do?
He wanted to vicariously win through his son.
That's the appearance. What did the father really want to do? He did not know how to
show his love.
To love his child. He didn't know how to show his love. He didn't know how to love his kid. And so he showed it in his tense attitude about trying to get him to win on the contest. Year after year. How many times had he been there? The third time now, wasn't it? He'd been there twice before. And the kid failed. Why did the kid fail? Really, stop and think. Why did the kid fail? You think the kid didn't know the answers? He failed because this was the only way he had attention from his father. He had no attention from his father from the other ways. Now, Gertrude tries to give us a cock and bull story about her driving ability. And she says she took the driving test and failed. And she said she failed because she didn't do something right. Well, she failed on purpose. She enjoyed her driving instructor and enjoyed having him teach her and having his presence in her world and under a reasonable basis. And she created him year after year after year until she couldn't do it anymore. She had to pass the test, because you mean nobody could be that stupid 4 times, But she wanted that relationship. She wanted that friendship that she found with this man whom she admired very greatly, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because the written test I made the first time.
And the driving test you could have made before you even took the test, because you knew all the rules and you've seen how everybody drives. But she could afford it, and she was buying this gigolo in her life to be there, really, and teach her, and it's a good excuse. I mean, it's an acceptable excuse to his wife, And this is how it goes. But you see, when you understand this, you don't feel badly about a person. You just say, that's cool. You got imagination, and you did what you wanted, and that's lovely. I really admire and respect you for the creativity you use to accomplish your goals, and you think nobody knows what's going on. Everybody does. And everybody thinks you're wonderful. Mm-hmm. And they think you're wonderful because you're doing it for such a beautiful reason. Love, So, what was the redeeming feature of the film last night, if after all this discussion you have one point? What's the redeeming feature? There are several redeeming features, for sure. You see, everybody's life was changed. Mama's life was changed. The young boy, Mexican boy, he just had a ball. This was just a game time. And his parents had him up on stage there, and they were proud of him, you know. I mean, that's my son, you know, even though he came in second, you know, or first, or whatever he came in. But no, they too came in first, so that guy came in second. But isn't it marvelous? Isn't it marvelous how he could do that? Now, they cared about those other kids who went, I lost, you know. They were sorry for them, but hey, it didn't bother them. That's part of the game. What bothered him was the relationship between the Korean boy and his father. What bothered him was the relationship between people trying to cheat. Like, remember when her sister came in, I saw him, her speaking the way, can't see, you know. And of course she did. And then if that stupid mother had just stood up and said, forgive me. I cared so much, forgive him. And then, a bit different, but my son's got it. He worked so hard. They all did.
But the child was so honest and said, no, I did not.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And that the baby was crying and it was seemed to be a bother, and at the end it was a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just such a blessing.
Because she was watching more intently and she was in a position to see it.
Yes.
Yeah. But nothing happened by chance.
That's exactly right.
There's always a good outcome in every appearing things that seems to be not in order. Something.
Yeah, you look beyond the appearances.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in this movie fell in perfect place. Everything.
Ellen, do you think in real life it worked out like that?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
in real life, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But the movie was able to polish the edges that real life couldn't do.
Okay.
And the movie got this guy back on the ball of being a teacher. And the guy felt sorry for himself because his daughter died, which is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
You know? But he felt sorry for himself. And he messed up his marriage. And he and his wife couldn't be together because it was just so terrible. But the guy really missed his wife, and he missed his daughter, and he missed everything. And so he made a monument of a garden in the backyard for her. And then accepting this girl and accepting her, and she was just like the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
A brilliant, flippant little character. And that hurt him terribly. You know, that's why he was backing away so often. Not because of the girl, but because it was reminding him so of his daughter. Now, you see, that's a polishing job. That's a polishing job that might have come from another story. And they brought these ideas together in one story. That's what makes good writing.
Yeah.
Good writing is when you have the freedom of freedom of. Come on now, there's a term for it. Writer's freedom.
Of expression.
Publisher's what?
Of expression.
No, I'm looking for a sprick word. It's freedom of expression, true, but the right of an author or a poet or an artist to do it their own way. And so and there's a phrase for it. And in that phrase, it says, naturally, this is the poet's right to do it that way. He's got to rhyme the words, you know. And so he has to take a word sometimes that rhymes that doesn't necessarily exactly tell the story. And so, Ellen? Where did you get the idea of Mandela's? Mandela's.
Where I got the idea?
Yeah. Where did you get the idea for Mandela's? You were painting Mandela's, right?
Mandela's.
Yeah, let's pronounce it right. Mandela's, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was from a movie. Yeah.
And what was the thing?
What was the movie? Where they painted all the mandalas. This is great, so.
Yeah.
I found that an inspiration.
Now, what do you think of the street painter who paints on the street? Is he painting a mandala?
Yeah.
And is he painting something that is really spectacular?
Yeah.
you think one thing when you see it, and it's another thing. And from each direction you approach his painting, you see it differently. One direction, it is what his purpose was.
Yeah.
Another direction, you only see the back of it, so to speak, even though it's a flat painting. Uh-huh. You see the back of it. Now, how can anyone do that? That's really quite amazing. But this is what each one of us does. We have the privilege of going out and finding our mandala, our mantra, our program that is most beneficial for ourselves. And she, what did she do? She woke up to the fact that, hey, I'm a genius. I might as well live like one and not try to hide it. Not only in spelling, but what could she do? Anything she read, she could memorize. And she memorized how many words in 2 weeks?
5,000.
5,000 complex words in 2 weeks. Plus what?
All the others.
No. Plus what the words meant.
Ah, yeah.
Plus what their origin was, whether they were from Greek or Latin or whatever, you know. And this is why I read that to you every time we open the dictionary. I say, this is from the Greek, this is from the Latin, this is from German, you know, so that you've got an idea where the word comes from. And when you have an idea where the word comes from, then what happens?
You understand it better.
You understand why it says what it says and why Sylvia ends. It has to be pronounced that way. See, if it's a German word, it is pronounced with a German aspect. With a French word, it's pronounced with a French aspect, you know. And if it's an American word, it's pronounced. However you can get it out. Because it may have German, French, Italian origin, or Latin. And my wife and I, when we went to Mexico the first time, we drove into Mexico, and she had studied Latin in school. In fact, she was a top scholar in school. And so she just used her Latin to talk to this boy in Spanish. And he understood, and she understood. I didn't, but they had a great talk. And she talked everywhere we went. She was our mouthpiece, speaking Latin to these Spanish-speaking people. Isn't that amazing? You know, and what else did you learn about words last night?
That words are always simple.
Yeah.
Why are you going to say words are always simple?
Because the root of a word, no matter how much is added to it, is very simple.
The word always has a basic foundation or root. Mm-hmm. And once we learn the roots of words, we can add anything to it. Say it. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You see, once you have the supercalifragilistic, doesn't mean a thing. I'm sure, but maybe it does. Expialidocious. Now, somebody thought up that word. And they thought up that word to be a charming word. Now, what's another thing about German words?
You can add as many as you want.
You not only can, you do.
Yeah.
The longest words in the language of any country are German words because they are so multiplicity. They just keep adding onto themselves because they don't have to stop. Now, who else have you heard of who had words that didn't stop? The early Aramaic writings of Jesus and of the early New Testament work. And perhaps more beyond that, because the study that I read only was about the Bible and the New Testament and how it was begun and so forth. But if you had read it more, it'd probably be similar going back into ancient times. Because you see, the scribes did not know how to read. They only knew how to sign their name as a proof that they received something. Not that they understood it or read it. Interesting, huh? See how easy we have it? Okay, now, what do you think of all this? What do you think of Aquila's following her dream? Did she follow her dream, or did she just wake up and says, I am me, and this is who me is. Did she feel any shame looking into the boys' restroom and peeking in as, and to hear this guy talking to his dad?
No.
Did she do anything wrong?
No.
And when her mentor came along and said, peeking, and she said, she didn't give any answer to that. She just ignored it and went on to a different topic, because that was none of his business, what she was doing for that young fellow. That was between them. She did say, don't be surprised, whatever the outcome may be, I could do anything, you know. That was not necessary, but it was necessary for the audience. Because she knew what she was doing, and her mentor believed in her 100%. Now, what else?
It was a feel-good movie.
A feel-good movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Pollyanna. Mm-hmm.
Even more.
Yes.
Even more.
Yes.
Well, what was this? Well, of course, all the loose ends were brought together at the end, which was very nice. With her mother understanding what her daughter was doing and why she was doing it. And, of course, having a son who was getting all out of shape, too, and living in the district she did, and not having the time to be with her family as she wanted to. That was tough, too. Now, what did you think of Akilah's older brother?
Oh, he was beautiful. What a gem.
What did you think of him?
Pure class. He is pure class.
Pure class. Very good reference to him. Pure class. Now, what made him pure class?
Hard to put in words.
What image did he play that was not there to be played, but he played it?
He is completely supportive of for people being who they truly are.
He played the father image.
Yeah. But that is a father.
Yeah. He played the father image, and no one rejected him. Because he was not overbearing. He was just a super guy, and everybody got benefit from what he did. The brother, the sisters, even the sisters who were messing up, and the brothers who were messing up, they respected him. But he was a very special-looking person, too. Yeah. And what did he do when she spelled her first big word correct in the spelling bee? They jumped up in the air. He was so happy for her, you know. It was a tough one. Now, what else did you see in there?
In him?
No, now we're looking at the whole thing. Him, too. Did you see something else in him?
He kept his promise.
Yeah, he kept his promise. And he himself, under those trying circumstances, he lost his father, too.
That's true.
And under those trying circumstances, he got good grades in school because he was a genius. It just showed the family mentality, you know. And he went into the service because he wanted to go in service. And what was his toughest thing that he did?
To jump for the first time.
He said, I know how you feel because I felt that way when I was jumping for the first time. But stupid. And what did he say?
He said that his body said no all over, but sometimes you have to get back to your brain to control your body.
He said, which was sort of subtle like that, he said, you have to be in charge of your body with your brain, not your body in charge of your brain. And this was subtly said, but very powerfully said, to her, because that was what she was going through. See, and all of these things may or may not have been in her life story or whatever, but they were brought together because they were very significant. And that's beautiful. And many writers, as they're writing, they read, tremendously. And as they read, They say, oh, that idea would go good in my book. Oh, that idea would go good for the brother. Oh, that idea would go good for like a kriya, you know. You see what I mean? And so they introduce these ideas from diverse locations or sources, and they put them into their writing. And this is why I tell you, use your imagination. Use your wisdom, use your genius, and let go and be the wonderful magic that you are. You follow me? Because if you're the wonderful magic that you are, great things happen to you. And if you're not going to follow the magic inside of you, you know? What's another thing her teacher said of her, you wouldn't know unless I tell you at this point, but her teacher said, or she said to her teacher, I know you expect the best out of me. I know I can be the best. And the teacher was a little upset about that because he didn't want to say it quite that way. But he said, yes. Yes, you can do it. But I want to prepare you so that you will not be touched, you know, untouched. You'll not be touched when you get into the big league and everybody, you know, doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
They're all your same age.
Yeah.
But they're all in there to win. And they don't care if they have to win, how they have to trip somebody else or wish them bad or something like that. Most of them were so busy wishing themselves good, you know, and keeping their mind open to spelling and so forth. But the art that her mentor taught her of learning a foundation, of learning the foundation of all words, and with that, the door is open to you to use those words. Oh, that was another thing. He taught her how to use the words, where they came from and how to use them. And you see, this is what the rest of the people were not taught. They were just taught words.
Mm-hmm.
And so the words were uncomfortable for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why these kids kept saying, would you tell it to me in a sentence? Would you tell it to me what it means? And things like that. Because if you heard what it meant and you heard the sentence, you still wouldn't know how to spell it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you didn't have something to work with. Because those words were words that had definitions that we're familiar with. But I'm never familiar with that word being used like that, you know. I never knew that word existed because it's not in our vocabulary. Now, that's exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. And we are having that opened into our consciousness. Now, Anita is going to go to her room after the seminar, and she's going to sit down and write down the 5,000 words that Akia had to learn. 5,000 words that she had to learn in 2 weeks. You're going to write it down. Now, wasn't that nicely printed?
Uh-huh.
Nicely done. Mm-hmm. Beautifully done. I mean, that guy really knew his sources. I mean, there are book publishing companies who do these things, and you can get these things. And she watched a video of the previous events, you know. And as she watched them, then she was learning it. But this is, what dedication. Now, can you understand the girl saying at one point, I want to go to a movie. I want to go out with my friends. And I bought you a present. I bought you a present, so I should certainly have you forgive me for taking the day time off to buy you a present. But, you see, those things were not what he was all about. He was all about her giving the present to herself. Of dedication, of living with things, and her mother was teaching her. So, what was the essence of her mother's teaching to her? Do you remember? The big H. What was she teaching to her?
Humility.
No.
Honesty.
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 Honesty. Now, see, I would say she was beyond humility.
Oh.
Yeah, she was beyond it. But honesty, he was teaching. Because just because you're so good, you can't get away with disobeying the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Just because it's very important to you to do this doesn't mean that you can lie to get to goal. And Yeah, honesty was a big feature, And each person, each little thing that she learned for herself, the people that she learned it with, each were in the process of learning it for themselves. Because, see, the mother had never been honest with them, had never said, now look, I would like to go back to college someday. I dropped out because of whatever reason, and I'd like to go back sometime. You would. I mean, the whole atmosphere changed. Education now was not something you put down, but something you put up. And up to that point, education was something being put down because the mother had to work long hours and being a nurse, nurse's aide or whatever she was, and not getting too much money, but she seemed to do all right. And it was good. It was good. Yes, we have a lot of beautiful things that come up to us in this here. No. I would like each one of you to make a pledge to yourself. Make a pledge to yourself that every time you watch any movie, when you are finished with it, you say to yourself, or maybe the next day, you say to yourself, what were the redeeming qualities of that movie? What was? Why did I bother watching that movie? You know, not just it was nice, it was a distraction, but what was the redeeming quality of it? And there are redeeming qualities. They're really there, and they're easy to find. The closer you are to it, the easier it is to find it. But say them to yourself. You don't have to write them down. You know them when you speak them from your heart. And when you find the redeeming qualities in the movies as you go along, then you're going to start making it a habit to find the redeeming qualities in life as you go along. And then, as you find the redeeming qualities in life, you'll find that being non-judgmental will not be difficult at all. You will have trained yourself to be non-judgmental and unpossessed. Because you're finding qualities there that might have slipped by as you were making a judgment. But since you weren't making a judgment, then you begin to notice that. And one-pointed, untouchability, those come right along with it. But can you see how important that is? If we can just take the time after every event, whether it's a outing in the park, a trip to Disneyland, or whether it's watching a movie or hearing something or reading a book. After reading any book you ever read, stop, put the book aside, say, okay, my teacher in me is asking me, what's the redeeming quality of that book? And then you stop and think. You don't look back in the book, you don't check back, and you don't reread it to find the redeeming qualities. You should have picked it up as you went along. And if you cannot find any redeeming qualities in a book that you read, be careful the kind of books that you read. Because every book should have its silver lining, should have its redeeming qualities that make you a little better person because you have done it. Interesting, huh? Okay. Now, any thoughts that have come up to you about the seminar so far that we might talk about? Yeah?
The thing you said about the words she's learning, you know, her teacher told her she's got to understand the words, otherwise it's no use to just memorize them. That's what we do with the affirmations. That's why we go through so many different stories with always the same affirmations, till inside of me I understand what I'm doing. Without being able to put it into words, but I understand, and then I just rock and beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You don't objectively say, I want to understand before I use it. Because if you objectively say, I want to understand before I use it, you'll never use it. Because understanding affirmations, most of the time, they're totally illogical. They don't have any foundation, apparently, you know. They do, but you don't know it. Now, yes, learning the foundations surreptitiously as you do it is good.
It's like putting meaning into it. it's hard to describe, really. But
well, now, what are you saying? You are saying what little children are always saying. What is that? What do little children always say? Come on.
I know that.
No, that's true. But why? 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 Right?
Yeah.
Little children always say why.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. Now, why are they saying why? Because they want to understand. They want to understand all these big, highfalutin ideas and concepts that you're throwing at them. Now, you behave. Why? You know? Now, eat your dinner. Why? Now, don't hit your sisters. Why? You know? You know, go to bed. Why? You know? You've heard that before?
Yeah.
But, you see, this is learning the foundations. As you say, we have affirmations. And why? You know, why should I say I like me when I don't like me? You know, why should I say I'm happy when I'm not happy? You know, why should I say I think that everybody in this room is wonderful and I think they're not wonderful, you know? Yeah? And that's what little children do. And now, you don't need to know the why to do it. You see, as we grow older, we stop outwardly asking why. And inwardly we start asking why. And inwardly we feel at peace with things, and then it's okay. Inwardly we have that inner feeling of contentment and all is right. And then it's good. But how do we get to that point? How do we get to the point of inner contentment and inner peace?
Listen within.
All right, Ellen. How do you listen?
Yeah.
How do we listen within, Ellen?
Be still from within. I mean, I can dance and do a lot of things in the outer, but there needs always to be that stillness, letting that stillness speak to me.
Well, I don't agree with you.
All right, then let me listen to you.
No. You're fine, but I don't agree with you. You're saying what most people say, that when they should listen to the stillness, when they should listen within, they have to stop doing whatever they're doing. They have to sit down and be quiet and meditate and be at peace.
I just said, even when I'm dancing and flying and doing things.
Oh, I thought you were saying when you were dancing and quiet, you were not listening within.
No. I said, I can do anything, but I'm
okay.
But in any task I'm doing, I let that stillness speak to me, that inner stillness speak to me.
We see now, again, I'm taking umbrage with the word stillness, and you let it speak to you. You see, that's okay when you understand what you're doing, and so forth, but most of the time we don't. But when we can say, I'm always listening with him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always listening with him. And it's not still. It shouts at me. Don't do that. Don't do that. And, you know, the inner voice says, you know, you do that, whatever you want, you know, whatever you want to do, you go ahead. But I recommend you don't do that. And we don't listen because we don't want anybody or anything telling us what to do. So
it's like in the movie when the boy said, I had an impulse, and he did it. You know, that's what I hear from within. I have these thought ideas that jump up, and that's listening.
And you don't need to close your eyes and meditate.
No.
It is just always.
And what did Akil do another time? She kissed him. What did she do?
She followed an impulse, too.
He was going through a mental problem her brother had explained to her. Being air sick is mental. And the brother explained to the children, to the rest of the kids in the family, what air sickness was and how it's just a mental attitude. And so here this buddy of hers is experiencing air sickness, and she knows it's mental. And she knows he's got a mind like a steel trap. He can do anything he wants to. And so she goes over and what did she do? Now, it's not the kiss. What did she do?
She opened the blind.
Yeah, no, before that.
She gave him
She gave him the pilot's wings, yeah. But she did something else, too.
She took his mind off.
Exactly.
She distracted him.
Yeah. Very well.
Yeah, very well. She distracted him from thinking about being airsick.
Yes.
And by the time she up with the blind, he had forgotten all about it, right? It's beautiful. But it was a lovely little vignette. You know, it's a little story within a story that was so complete and so beautiful and so touchingly done. And, of course, she did kiss him, and that shook him too. He said, yeah, you know. And, I mean, they were all just coming of age, you know, according to the story. But it's very beautiful, very beautiful. Yeah. How are you guys doing on that? Are you guys coming of age pretty good? Mm-hmm. Pretty wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Well, think about these things. Because these are the things that make your world go round. These are the things that are going to give you a lot of fun and a lot of challenges and a lot of joy. But remember, now, this is New Year's Day Eve, or New Year's Eve Day. It's New Year's Eve Day. This is the day before the eve of New Year's. What does it mean to have a new year? Does it mean really anything special, or is it just something we create, something we make? What if you didn't know it was New Year's Eve?
Exactly.
What would you do?
Always living in it now.
Oh. Oh. What would you do if you came home on New Year's Eve and everybody's having a party?
Just go and have the party with them.
Join the party.
Right.
Always flow with it.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And isn't it nice to know how brilliant you are? Oh, you guys are fantastic. Okay, well, we'll take our pause now until we get together at 9:30 or 10:30 for our first lesson of today. So, I will see you at the Embassy Cathedral in a short time.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.